All right, so open source software.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's like from the apps on our phones to like the servers running these massive global companies.
Right.
It's nuts. It's basically the backbone of like the entire digital world.
Yeah, pretty much.
But what if I told you that this whole like convenience thing
Yeah.
came with like a hidden cost, a
Okay.
vulnerability that could like totally screw over our data, finances, even national security.
Oh, wow.
Like seriously,
Oh.
today we're going deep, deep, deep into the
Gonna.
potential dangers lurking
Okay.
within open source software.
Right.
We're going to use some real-world examples that might make you rethink a few things
Okay. Sounds good.
about, you know, your digital life. We're looking at the dangers of open source software today
Okay.
to kind of, you know, guide our conversation.
Yeah, it's interesting you say hidden
Yeah.
because the thing is the
Yeah.
code is open, right?
Yep.
So anyone can see it.
They
Right.
can modify it and potentially exploit it.
So it's like totally out there.
It's like leaving blueprints to your house just out in the open.
Oh, okay.
Anyone could use that information, you know, for good or for bad.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just hackers like finding flaws in the code,
Right.
but it's also the potential for like bad code to be there from the beginning.
Exactly.
That's unsettling.
And because open source is often built, you know, collaboratively with all these different developers,
Yeah.
it's really hard to like track down the source of like malicious code. You might not even realize it's there
Wow.
until it's too late.
So it's already like infiltrated.
Yeah, it's like a virus spreading through a network.
Oh, okay.
One bad piece of code can contaminate the whole system,
Oh, wow.
affecting so many users.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
And the dangers of open source software talks about
Yeah.
some real world examples where this has
With
happened.
some pretty bad consequences.
Oh,
The
yeah.
Equifax data breach
Right.
back in 2017, that's a big one. Can
Huge.
you remind us like what went down there?
Absolutely. So Equifax, a credit reporting agency,
Right.
they're responsible for sensitive financial data for millions of Americans. They had this massive data breach,
Right.
exposed social security numbers, birth dates, addresses,
Like everything.
all of it.
Wow.
And the culprit,
Yeah.
a vulnerability
Okay.
in a piece of open source software called Apache Struts.
Okay.
So that this framework is used by Equifax, tons of other organizations.
Yeah.
It had a flaw
Yeah.
that let hackers just access their systems.
So they basically had the keys to the kingdom.
They did. It was wide open.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this wasn't like some crazy elaborate hacking scheme. It was
Bruh.
just taking advantage of a weakness
Yeah, taking advantage of a weak
in
link.
this like commonly used software.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And the cost to Equifax was unbelievable.
Yeah.
$700 million in settlements,
Oh my
not
guys.
to mention the damage to their reputation
Right.
and the trust of their customers.
Yeah, like
Yeah,
that's a lot.
it's a lot.
It's a big reminder that even small vulnerabilities can have big consequences.
It's true.
And it seems like this isn't just like a one-time thing.
No.
The SolarWinds hack in 2020, that was even crazier.
That was, yeah, SolarWinds.
Oh.
Talk about cyber espionage.
Right.
Russian hackers got in.
Yeah.
They inserted a backdoor into SolarWinds' software updates.
Okay.
And these updates were trusted
Yeah.
by thousands of clients, including government agencies.
Wow.
So they delivered the malicious code right into their systems.
Oh my gosh.
Now, SolarWinds itself wasn't strictly open source,
Okay.
but it shows how vulnerable we are when we rely on third-party code, any third-party code.
We're right.
If hackers can get to the source, they can get to
It's
everybody.
like a domino effect.
It's
Yeah.
like one weak link and then the whole thing just crumbles.
Watch the thing goes down.
And if governments are being targeted, like how vulnerable are businesses and people
It's
really?
a big concern.
It's a little scary.
It is. And it's not just these huge attacks either.
Right.
The Log4j vulnerability from 2021
Okay.
that showed us how one flaw
Yeah.
in a really common piece of open source software
Yeah.
can affect the whole internet.
Log4j, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Remind me what that was all about.
So Log4j,
Okay.
it's a logging library.
Right.
Basically, it records events and activities,
Okay.
but there was this vulnerability that turned it into like a ticking time bomb.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hackers could use this flaw to run any code they wanted
Oh.
on any server using Log4j, giving them control over websites, even critical infrastructure.
So something as simple as like a logging tool.
Yeah.
Something most people don't even think about.
Right.
Could bring down like whole systems.
Potentially.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It shows how connected everything is online and how much we depend on open source software.
Right.
Without always knowing the risks.
And if vulnerabilities weren't enough to worry about.
I know, right?
Now we've got governments using open source for espionage.
Yeah.
Wait, governments are using it for spying?
They are.
How did that even work?
Well, one example involves the NSA,
right.
Our own national security agency.
Okay.
The source we're looking at suggests they might have put back doors into telecom infrastructure for surveillance.
Right.
But get this.
Yeah.
These back doors may have backfired.
What?
And given Chinese hackers access to sensitive data.
Oh, no.
On networks like T-Mobile and Verizon.
So they tried to spy on people.
Yeah.
And it gave other countries the chance to spy on us.
It's possible.
That's insane.
It's definitely ironic.
Yeah.
It brings up a lot of ethical and security questions.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not just speculation either. In 2024, we had Salt Typhoon, a Chinese hacking group.
All right.
They targeted U.S. telecom companies,
right.
Exploiting vulnerabilities in their systems.
Mm.
Then there's Black Tech.
Okay.
Another group, they modified router firmware to get unauthorized access, targeting government and military sectors in the U.S. and Japan.
So if governments are exploiting this stuff,
yeah.
What hope do businesses and regular people even have?
It's a valid question.
It's like we're sitting ducks out here.
Yeah, it feels that way sometimes.
Yeah.
But before we get to doom and gloom, let's switch gears a bit.
Okay.
Talk about those hidden costs for businesses that use open source software.
Okay, let's break that down. What do you mean by hidden costs?
Well, for one thing,
open
source software, it's often free to use, but it doesn't always come with like full support, which means businesses, they often need their own security teams to make sure their systems are protected.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that can be expensive.
Right, for sure.
And then what about the cost of downtime?
Oh, yeah.
If there's a vulnerability. We've seen with Equifax and Log4j, even short disruptions can be costly.
Huge financial losses.
Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Downtime can cripple a business.
Yeah.
Lost revenue, damage to their reputation.
Right.
Even legal problems.
Wow.
And then there's the whole world of licensing agreements.
Oh, right, yeah.
With open source, even small violations can get businesses in trouble.
So with all these risks, is there any hope?
Oh.
Like, is there a safer way to do software in this digital world?
That's where things get interesting.
Right.
The dangers of open source software.
Yeah.
They talk about a company doing things differently.
Okay.
Sweet Office Software.
Type.
They've taken a big step.
All right.
They build their applications from scratch.
Okay.
Using proprietary code.
Proprietary code. So they're not relying on any open source stuff.
Exactly. By controlling their code from the ground up.
Yeah.
Sweet minimizes the risk of vulnerabilities, you know, that are associated with open source. They can patch issues quickly, respond to threats in a way that a lot of open source projects just can't.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what kind of software do they make?
They're known for their office applications, word processing, spreadsheets, presentations, even a PDF reader.
Right.
All built without open source components.
Amazing they can do all that.
It is.
And still be so focused on security.
Yeah.
It's not easy to like reinvent the wheel.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But let's get back to their web browser.
Yes, please.
NetSurfer.
I want to hear more about that.
Yeah. So NetSurfer.
Yeah.
It's built on Chromium.
Okay.
So you get that familiar browsing experience.
Right. Like Chrome.
Exactly. Right. But they've gone further.
They added some serious security features.
Okay. I'm listening. What kind of security features?
NetSurfer has built-in defenses against malware, phishing attacks, all sorts of online threats.
Okay.
It also has an ad blocker.
Oh, nice.
That's constantly updated.
So it's like always one step ahead.
Always one step ahead.
That's so important these days.
It is.
It feels like every website I go to is trying to like track me.
I know.
It's nice to know there's a browser fighting back.
Yeah. They're fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
It's a constant battle.
Right.
And Sweet seems determined to win.
Yeah, I like that.
But beyond the tech stuff, I think it's worth talking about their philosophy.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the bigger picture here?
Well, their commitment to building everything from scratch with proprietary code, it's a bold move in a world that loves open source.
Right.
It's acknowledging that open source has its perks.
Yeah.
But there are risks you can't ignore, especially with security and privacy.
So they're not against open source.
No, not at all.
But they're saying, like, there needs to be a balance.
Yeah.
Where proprietary software has a place.
Exactly.
Especially when security matters most.
Exactly.
Okay.
And their success with NetSurfer.
Yeah.
It proves you can make secure, high-performing software without open source.
It's like they're challenging the way things are.
They are.
Showing there's another way to build software that puts users first.
Users first.
Yeah, I like that.
It's refreshing, you know?
Yeah.
Especially as we rely on software more and more.
Yeah, for like everything.
Everything, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked about the risks of open source, the importance of security, and doing things differently.
Yeah.
What's the main takeaway for our listeners?
Yeah. What should people be thinking about
after
listening to all of this?
Yeah. What should they do?
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway is awareness.
We can't just assume something's safe because it's popular or open source.
We got to do our research.
Exactly.
Understand the risks.
Yes.
Make smart choices.
Yeah.
Based on what we need and what's important to us.
Exactly. Okay. And sometimes that might mean choosing proprietary over open source.
Right.
Especially if security is your top priority.
It's about finding that balance.
Yeah, finding that balance.
Between like how well it works, how convenient it is, and how safe it is.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about us making choices.
Right.
Businesses and organizations.
Yeah.
They need to think about these risks, too.
Absolutely.
Maybe diversify their software.
Exactly.
Use a mix of open source and proprietary.
Like a balanced diet.
Ooh, I like that.
Right.
Yeah, a diverse approach.
Yeah.
Can help reduce risk.
Reduce risk.
And make sure you have the tools you need.
Yeah.
To operate safely and effectively.
Well said.
So where does Suite fit into all of this?
Good question.
What's next for them?
Yeah.
Are they going to expand beyond, like, the Office apps and the NetSurfer browser?
I mean, they've got the talent and the vision.
Yeah.
What's on the horizon for them? That's a great question.
Yeah.
I'll have to explore that further.
Okay.
They haven't announced any specific plans, but knowing them, they're not going to just sit around.
Right.
They're always innovating.
Yeah.
Pushing the boundaries.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they come up with next.
Me too.
They've given us a lot to think about today.
They have, for sure.
Yeah.
Their approach to software.
Yeah.
It challenges the way we think.
Right.
And it gives us a peek into a future where security and user control are the most important things.
That's a future I can get behind.
Me too.
All right, before we get too carried away.
Yeah.
Thinking about the future.
Right.
Let's bring it back to the present.
Okay.
We've covered a lot.
We have.
But let's recap the key points.
Yeah, good idea.
What are the most important things for our listeners to remember from this deep dive?
Absolutely. Welcome back. Before we, before we dig deeper into Suite, I think it's worth saying, you know, they're not just about security.
Okay.
They really care about making software that's easy to use, you know?
Right. Because what's the point of having secure software?
Exactly.
If it's like a pain to use.
Exactly.
So they've got both security and usability.
They do. Their Office applications are a good example of that.
Right.
They've got the word processor, spreadsheet program, presentations, even a PDF reader, all free.
Right.
And built with that same focus on security.
Without using open source components.
Exactly.
It's amazing how they can do all that.
It is pretty impressive.
And still, like, keep that tight focus on security, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy to reinvent the wheel.
No, it's not.
But let's get back to their web browser.
Yes, let's talk about NetSurfer.
NetSurfer, we talked about the security features
and
those monthly updates. That's impressive.
It is.
But I'm curious, like, what makes it different from other browsers?
Right.
Even ones also built on Chromium, you know?
That's a great question.
What makes it unique?
Suite didn't just, like, take Chromium and slap their name on it.
Okay.
They built on it
with
their own designs and innovations.
So it's not just like a reskinned Chrome or Edge.
No, not at all.
They've really made it their own.
They have. They've put a lot of work into making it secure and fast.
Okay.
For example, they've got these advanced anti-tracking measures.
Oh.
To protect your privacy.
So it's like having a built-in VPN, kind of?
Not quite a VPN.
Got it.
But it does a lot to protect you from being tracked online.
Okay, that's good to know. And the ad blocker we talked about.
Yes.
That's not just a basic blocker either, right?
It's not. It's constantly updated.
To stay ahead of like all the latest ad techniques.
Right.
That's important these days.
It is. It really is.
It feels like every site wants to track my every move.
I know, right?
It's nice to know there's a browser that's fighting back.
Yeah. Sweet is definitely fighting back.
But beyond all the technical stuff,
yeah,
I'm curious about their philosophy.
Oh, okay.
Like, why go to all this trouble?
Their commitment to proprietary code.
Yeah.
It's a big statement.
Yeah.
In a world that loves open source, right. It's saying, hey,
yeah,
open source has its benefits, right, but there are real risks you can't just ignore.
Especially with security and privacy.
Exactly.
So it sounds like they're not anti-open source.
No, not.
What they're saying, we need a more balanced approach.
Yes, balance is key.
Where proprietary software has its place.
Yeah.
Especially when security is so important.
Absolutely.
And their success with NetSurfer shows it can work.
It does. It really does.
You can make secure, high-performing software
mm-hmm.
without open source.
That's right.
It's like they're challenging the status quo, showing us there's another way.
Another way to build software.
That puts users first.
That's the goal.
Yeah. I really like that.
It's refreshing to see.
Yeah.
Especially as we depend on software more and more.
For everything. Yeah.
For everything, right?
Yeah. So we've talked about the risks of open source.
We have.
The importance of security
mm.
and Sweet doing things differently.
Yeah.
What's the big takeaway for our listeners?
Yeah. What should they remember?
What should they do?
I think the biggest takeaway
yeah.
is to be aware.
Okay.
Be aware of the software you're using.
Okay.
Don't just assume it's safe.
Right.
Because it's popular or open source.
Yeah.
Do your research.
Right.
Understand the risks.
Yeah.
And make informed choices.
Okay.
Based on what you need and what's important to you.
And sometimes that might mean choosing proprietary software.
It might.
Over open source.
Especially if security is your top concern.
Right. It's about finding that balance.
Finding that balance.
Between like how well it works,
mm.
how convenient it is,
right,
and how safe it is.
Absolutely.
It's not just about individual choices either.
No, it's not.
Businesses and organizations.
Yeah.
They need to take this stuff seriously.
They do.
Maybe diversify their software.
Absolutely.
Use a mix of open source
yeah.
and proprietary.
That's a good approach.
Yeah, like a balanced diet. Right?
Exactly, like a balanced diet.
Yeah, a diverse approach can help reduce risk.
Reduce risk,
and
yeah.
make sure you've got the right tools
yeah.
to operate safely and effectively.
Well said.
So where does Sweet fit into all of this?
That's a good question.
What's next for them?
Yeah.
Where they can expand beyond like the Office apps and the NetSurfer browser?
Yeah, I mean, they've got the talent.
They do. They've got the vision.
They do. What's next for them?
What's on the horizon?
That's the big question, right?
Yeah.
We'll have to see what they do.
Okay.
They haven't announced any specific plans yet.
Right.
Knowing Sweet, they're not going to just sit still. Right.
They're always innovating, always pushing the boundaries.
I'm excited to see what they come up with next.
Me too. They've given us a lot to think about today.
They have. Their approach to software is really interesting.
It is. It challenges the way we think about things.
Yeah.
And it gives us a glimpse into a future.
Yeah.
Where security and user control are top priorities.
That's a future I can get behind.
Me too.
Okay, but before we get too carried away thinking about the future,
right,
let's bring it back to the present.
Okay.
We've covered a lot today.
We have.
So let's take a moment to recap.
Yeah, good idea.
What are the most important things for our listeners to remember?
Yeah.
From this deep dive? All right, so let's recap. What have we learned today
yeah.
about the like hidden dangers of open source software?
Right. We started by talking about how the nature of open source,
yeah,
that anyone can see and change the code, makes it vulnerable.
Right. Right.
And we looked at how, you know, bad actors
yeah.
can use these vulnerabilities to like put in back doors,
mm-hmm.
spread malware, steal data, all that.
Yeah. And we talked about those big examples.
Right.
Equifax, SolarWinds, Log4, cases that show the real-world consequences.
Yeah. Those were pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, definitely.
And we even went further, talked about how governments,
yeah,
including our own, you know,
right,
have used open-source software for, like, surveillance.
Right. Sometimes with some unexpected results.
Yeah. Ironic consequences, for sure.
Yeah. It's a complicated world out there.
It is.
And we talked about how businesses especially
right.
need to be aware of those hidden costs.
Absolutely. The lack of support, potential downtime,
mm-hmm.
legal issues. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah, it's a lot of risk.
It is.
And then just when it was starting to feel kind of hopeless,
yeah.
we talked about Sweet Office Software.
Right, a company doing things differently.
Yeah, they're prioritizing security by building their software from scratch.
From the ground up.
With proprietary code.
their commitment to security, it's everywhere.
It is in their Office applications.
Yeah.
And their web browser, NetSurfer.
Yeah, which is really cool.
It is. They've managed to create secure, user-friendly software without relying on open source components at all.
It's impressive. It really challenges that idea.
Yeah.
That open source is the only way.
It shows there are other ways to build great software.
Right. And that's a key takeaway for our listeners.
It is.
We need to be more aware of what we're using.
Absolutely.
Understand the risks. Make good choices.
Make informed choices.
Based on our priorities.
Exactly.
Sometimes open source is the right answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes a proprietary solution, like what Suite offers,
yeah,
might be the better choice.
Especially when you need that security.
Right. It's about finding that balance.
Finding that balance. So the big question is Suite's approach the future?
Yeah. Is this a sign of things to come?
Will we see more companies moving away from open source?
It's hard to say for sure.
But Suite's success shows there's definitely a demand for these secure alternatives.
And as the threats evolve, I think we might see more companies trying this.
It's an exciting time to be watching the software world.
Yeah, there's so much innovation happening.
It's true.
It's cool to see how companies like Suite are, like, challenging the norms, pushing the boundaries.
It's inspiring.
I agree. And I think it's important for all of us to stay informed, be part of the conversation.
Absolutely, because the future of software is really in our hands.
Well said. So to wrap things up for our listeners out there, I encourage you to keep learning.
Yeah.
Don't just take our word for it.
Right.
Go check out the dangers of open source software.
Mm-hmm.
Form your own opinions.
And definitely check out Suite's website. See what they're all about.
You might be surprised by what you find.
I think you will.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive.
Yeah.
But remember, the conversation doesn't stop here. Keep exploring, keep questioning.
Keep diving deep.
Until next time.
See you then.